Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
Before we turn to our text today, I want to speak from my heart. We're living in a time, my friends, when the values and foundations that once defined our nation are being challenged on every side.
Amen.
And many are questioning what it truly means to love one's country, to honor its history, and to stand for what is right. But I believe now more than ever, God's people must not be silent about their gratitude for the land that has blessed us, that God has blessed us with. Amen?
Amen, brother.
And so we must remember that true patriotism begins when we, you and I, acknowledge that every good and every perfect gift, even the freedoms that you and I enjoy, comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Be finding, if you will, Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85. And when you found it, look up here. And may I tell you, without stutter or even without stammer, I still believe that America is the greatest nation to live in.
Amen.
And I believe it's the greatest nation on this planet. And listen, I make absolutely no apology, none whatsoever, for being a patriot and a flag-waving American.
Amen.
And let me say this, I'm thankful that we've got both of these flags and that we have that freedom. Amen. Today our text comes from Psalm 85 in verse 6. The Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" We sung about that just now. "That thy people may rejoice in thee." Brother John, would you pray for me this morning?
Father, again, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy. God, for allowing us, God, to live in the land. Lord, we still have freedom to come to worship you, God, to do it true you, to tell and to proclaim that you are the true and living God. Lord, I pray this morning for a nation, all the rest. God, all the bitterness and hatred, Father. Lord, that's not yours, not your love. But God, help us to remember something, Father. Lord, as they didn't love Jesus either. God, this morning, help us to love those people in a way, God, as they might see Christ Jesus in our lives. God, I pray this morning for those that are sick and afflicted and can't be here, that God should put your healing hand upon them. Restore them to heaven be your will. God, especially this morning, as we start to come into a revival time, God, help us remember, Father, a revival is for us Christians, God. Lord, that we might take it on fire again, that God is just fire of heaven through the Holy Spirit. God might be a river in our lives and through our lives and lost and lost perverse world. God, see Christ Jesus in them. God, I pray this morning for our pastor. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you, God, for the insight that you give him, God, and the words that the Holy Spirit you speak to him. God, may this morning, may you fill him, God, with that Spirit, Father, that your words come out of his heart, my ear and our ears and into our heart, Father, that we might realize, Father, today is the day of the day. We need to be active about you. We need to be on fire, because God, it's not going to be long if you call us home. We thank you, Father, at marvelous love. We thank you for that great salvation, Father. We thank you, God, for every day you give us. Lord, have your way that we might glorify Christ Jesus, for it's in his holy, precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. You know, I'm going to say this just right now. Revival, we're starting a revival service tonight. And what I'm going to speak on today is really something that I've prayed about. Instead of being in the series that we've been in, dealing with hard times, the Holy Spirit of God wanted me to speak on this subject today that we're talking about, revive us again. But I want to encourage everybody to pray and consider the importance of being here if you can tonight.
Amen.
Because we need revival in our hearts. Amen?
Yes.
And the cry for a fresh move from God needs to happen in all of our lives. Now listen, I'm the pastor, but I'm telling you it needs to happen in my life as well. I don't mind to say that. But I want to tell you this. This is really what I want you to take away from what God has laid on my heart this morning. Revival is not a program that we schedule, but a passion that you and I, we seek. Listen, when God's people humble themselves and hunger for His presence, this is going to be a heart thing, right? Hunger for His presence. And when we turn, this goes for me, this goes for you, for all of us, from our sin. Heaven breeds new life. And I'm just going to say it in these dry hearts.
Amen, brother. Yes.
Because all of our hearts get dry, right?
Amen.
So today as we listen to what God's got to say to all of us, and I've been praying for this over the last, I've been praying for revival for some time, but I've been praying that God would prepare my heart because I need it as much as anybody else. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Mike, if you've never heard him preach before, he is a blessing. God has anointed him, so I hope he's a blessing to you. The cry of a desperate nation. Listen, there is moments in history when the people of God come to the end of themselves, and when sin has hardened the heart, when faith has grown cold, we've all been there before, and when the fire of devotion has turned to mere embers. And so such was the condition of Israel, by the way, when the psalmist lifted his voice here in Psalm chapter number 85.
Amen.
And so today we're going to look at what this has to say. And listen, once they had known the power of God's presence, once they had seen His glory in their midst, but now after seasons of all this captivity, compromise, and even complacency, like where we're at today in our nation and in many of our churches, they longed for restoration. And so, you know, the question we've got to ask, excuse me, is do we want to live our life at like a rat race and a rat wheel where every day we wake up and everything just seems terrible? Or do we want to wake up with a renewed heart and let our dry hearts be turned to the Lord? The Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Yes. These are not my words. This is not my word to get up here and say today. This is the word of God from God's Bible, the holy word of God here. And listen, it's not, "Wilt thou not revive us?" It's not the question of curiosity. It is the cry of desperation.
Amen.
And it was as the psalmist is saying here as I read this, "Lord, we have tasted your goodness before. Do it again."
Yes.
You know, revival is the sovereign stirring of God in the souls of His people.
Yes.
How many of you are one of God's people today?
Amen.
It's not something that man manufactures. Listen, as the pastor of the church, I can't manufacture revival. It's something that heaven sends. We can't organize it. As a matter of fact, I thought we were going to have Bible revival back in September. That's not when God wanted us to have the service. But revival starts now. And by the way, it doesn't end Wednesday. We can't organize it, but we can agonize for it, right?
Amen, yes.
We can't produce it, but we, you and I, can prepare for it. The church today stands in the same need. Our altars are empty. I mean, I think today, and I'm just going to be very honest, most people, I don't know what it is, the altars in churches today are empty. It blows my mind that the number of churches, certain people, the pastor don't even have an altar call anymore. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. And y'all remember Brother Bailey preached about that back a couple of years ago about the altar. And so, listen, the altars, they sometimes need to be full, right, of all of us. None of us are too good to come to the altar of
Amen.
God. And so today they're empty. Our hearts are divided. And not only that, our priorities are misplaced. And so we've learned how to do church. That's what we're doing. We've learned how to do it. But somewhere along the way, my friend, we've lost the power of His presence.
Come
and
on.
Let me tell you today, if we just come here on Sunday out of obligation and sing, and y'all hear me preach, and it's not got his power in it, we're wasting our time.
Amen. Come on.
You'd be better off to turn on the radio and listen to Christian music if the power of God's not in here. We've got to have the power of his presence. Amen.
Yes.
Listen, if there's ever a time we needed to cry, revive us again, I'm telling you, my good friend, today, it is right now. Amen?
Amen.
A few things I want you to take out the door if you take notes. And by the way, I know a lot of y'all take notes digitally, and that's fine. I'm glad, because you go back and you study these. We now have a church app. You can get that on our website and download it through the Apple Store or Google, whatever device you've got. And you can get all these notes right here. But number one, the memory of revival, what God has done, right? I'm thinking about what it is that I remember that God has done. And before the psalmist makes his request, he reflects here on what God has done in the past. Look, if you will, back at verses 1 through 3. Psalm 85, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now, here's what happens. The psalmist here looks back at God's former mercies, and here's what he says. Lord, you've done it before. And that's the first step toward revival. Remembering that God is able, right? Think about his past favor. He says, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. That word favorable, I looked it up, it means that you have smiled upon us. Listen, when God smiles upon his people, blessings begin to flow. And I want you to know today, his favor brings victory where there was defeat, fruitfulness where there was famine, joy where there is sorrow or where there was sorrow. And you and I, we can go and we can look back through all the corridors of time and we can see the fingerprints of God Almighty and his favor upon his people, right?
Amen.
And so from Abraham's covenant all the way to David's kingdom, from Pentecost's power to the revivals of history, God has proven that he delights and visits his people, but here's how he visits his people: in power. Now, remember all the great awakenings when prayer meetings turned into movements? Remember the Welsh revival and the bars shut down, and guess what? The churches overflowed. Remember the early church when believers prayed until the Spirit fell down like fire? I mean, friend, when we remember what God has done, faith rises to believe what he can do again.
Amen. Yes.
His past forgiveness. Look at verse 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sin. Friend, I want to remind you today that revival always begins at the foot of the cross. Yes. Listen, before we can rejoice, there must be repentance. And before there's restoration, there must be confession. And so the psalmist here reminds us that God has forgiven before, and guess what? He can forgive again. Listen, our God is not reluctant to pardon. He is rich in mercy. I want to remind you today that the blood of Jesus still cleanses. Amen. And grace still flows to the brokenhearted.
Amen, yes.
Sometimes the church forgets, and we're the church, right, that revival isn't for the world first. Guess what? It's for the people of God.
Yes.
Verse 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Revival begins in us before it moves through us. And then we've got to think about his past faithfulness. Verse 3 continues, notice, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. In other words, Lord, you were angry, but you've turned from your wrath and showed mercy. Sounds like what we studied in Sunday school today, right? Listen, that's faithfulness, amen? When God does that, even when we're unfaithful, guess what? God remains steadfast.
Amen.
Every true move of God is a testimony that he keeps his covenant. He keeps his word. I want to tell you today, my friend, God has never forsaken his people.
Amen.
Never one time, and he never will. Listen, when you recall his past power, how he saved you, our hearts, my friend, can cry with confidence, Do it again, Lord. We also, number two, can see the misery without revival. What we have become. And I'm just going to say this. What we've become as a nation is miserable. And a lot of our churches, since the pandemic hit, have become miserable. In the first section of the psalm, it recalls the past. Verses 4 through 7 reveal the present. The psalmist looks around and he sees the ruin of sin and what it has caused. And so we see here a few things. First, we see the reality of spiritual decline. Look at verse 4. Turn us, O God, for our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Listen, this nation that he's talking about was in moral decay. Their hearts had drifted, Brother John.
Yes.
And their worship had grown cold. Has our worship grown cold when we come to the house of God? Guess what? Their joy had disappeared.
Yes.
You know, we see the same tragedy today. I'm just going to be very honest with everybody. Churches that once thundered with God's truth. I'm saying this word right here that used to thunder with the truth of God now echo with the sound of compromise.
Come on.
Many pulpits have replaced conviction with convenience and holiness with hype.
Come on, brother.
We've become content with religious activity instead of spiritual vitality. We host conferences, but yet no conversions. We build buildings, yet fail to build believers. I'm going to tell you right now, a nice building, and I know people that have told me, well, the reason I go to this church is because of the building. Somebody told me that. Let me say something to you today about that. This was at another church. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're to build believers. It doesn't matter. We want to take care of our buildings, and praise God, we are doing that. We voted on that Wednesday night. But I'm here to tell you right now, we've got to build believers, right?
Amen.
That is more important. And not only that, we've mastered the mechanics of ministry, but we've lost the miracle of God's manifest presence. And so that's the reality of spiritual decline. Friend, when God's people lose the fire of the Spirit, they settle for the form of religion. And that's why the psalmist pleads, turn us, O God. He doesn't say turn the government, like we hear on TV, or turn the world. He says, turn us. Friend, revival begins not when we point fingers at everybody, not then, but when we bend knees.
Yes.
The removal of spiritual joy. Verse 5 says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? And so here we see the psalmist feels the weight of this divine displeasure. The joy is gone. The song is silent. Joyless Christianity is powerless Christianity. Listen, the world is not drawn to a defeated church. When the joy of the Lord departs, let me tell you what, our witness weakens. Our worship, it becomes weary, and our walk grows weary and wayward. You know, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, amen.
That's what he said. When that joy is gone, I'm here to tell you today, strength is gone. The psalmist longs for that joy again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Notice he doesn't ask for joy, and I said this in Sunday school, in circumstances. You talked about this, Sister Charlotte. Not in circumstances, but the joy in the Lord, right?
Yes, amen.
True revival restores the joy of our salvation. Not because life gets easier, but because God draws closer. He becomes dearer. And then there's the remedy of spiritual renewal. Verse 6, look what it says here. Wilt thou not revive us again? That word revive there that we sung about a moment ago literally means to make alive again, to quicken, to renew.
Yes.
It's used all throughout the Scripture when something dead is brought back to life. Remember, revival, listen, it's not resuscitating some old program that's out there. It's not resurrection. It is resurrection's spiritual power. That's what revival is. It's God breathing life into dry bones. It's the Spirit stirring the sin that has smothered. And that happens a lot, right? And so it's the flame of love, by the way, let me remind you, being rekindled in the hearts that have grown cold. Listen, you and I, we can't have revival until we admit we need it. The church will never be revived until the church realizes that it's dead.
Amen. Come on, brother.
There's been a lot of funerals here, and we don't need to have one for the church. Before Lazarus could be raised, remember, that they had rolled away the stone, and guess what? They had to admit the stench of death, right? And only did Jesus cry, "Lazarus, come forth!" And so it is with us as well. The stone of pride must be rolled away before the power of the resurrection can be revealed. We also see the means of revival. What's that? That's how God moves. The psalmist doesn't just cry out for revival. He shows how to prepare for it. Listen, revival's God's work, but it requires man's willingness. In verses 7 through 13, it reveals the pathway. We see here the plea for mercy. Verse 7 says, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." Every revival begins with a humble plea for mercy, not merit, but mercy. Listen, I'm going to say this. We don't deserve revival. No. We desperately need it. Mercy is God giving you and I, us, what we don't deserve and withholding what we do deserve.
Amen.
And when the church stops excusing sin and starts exposing sin, that's when mercy begins to flow. You know, throughout Scripture, mercy and revival, they walk hand in hand. When Jonah, remember, preached to Nineveh, the people repented, and you know what? God showed mercy.
Yes, amen.
Unfortunately, Jonah never did learn his lesson, did he? When Hezekiah prayed, remember him? God extended mercy, and what happened is he lengthened his days. When the thief on the cross cried out, "Lord, remember me," mercy answered, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
Yes.
Listen, if we want God's power, we must first seek God's provision.
Yes.
And then there's the posture, verse 8, of meekness. Notice it says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." Again, the psalmist quiets his soul. Revival begins with not with shouting, but guess what? With hearing. He says, "I will hear what God will speak." You know, our problem today is not that God has stopped speaking, but we've stopped listening.
Come on, bud.
Listen, we're too busy today, and we have stopped listening. There's going to be many people that are too busy for anything revival. We've drowned out His voice with noise, social noise, political noise, and there's too much of that. Amen?
Yes.
Even religious noise. And I want you to know, the Spirit speaks to the still heart, not the hurried one. That's why I love, be still, and know He's Lord.
Yes.
Notice the warning. It says, "Let them not turn again to folly." In other words, don't go back to the same sins that broke you. You know what? True revival will produce repentance and not repetition. Listen, it doesn't make us emotional. It makes us obedient.
Amen, yes.
When God speaks peace, and He does, it's not sentimental, it's supernatural. It's the kind of peace that comes when the prodigal comes home. The sinner finds grace. And you know what the church does? The church bows low before the Lord. And then we see the pathway of manifestation in verses 9 through 13. We'll look at verse 9. "Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, and the glory may dwell in our land." Friend, when God revives His people, we talk so much about church growth. But you know what we really need? We need God's glory.
Amen.
Yes.
Programs can attract crowds, but only the presence of God changes hearts.
Yes.
Verse 10, I love this beautiful picture this paints about revival. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a scene. Listen, when revival comes, guess what? Mercy and truth embrace. Righteousness and peace, the Bible says, kiss. Truth without mercy is harsh. Mercy without truth is hollow. But in revival, guess what? They meet at the cross. And Jesus is both the mercy of God and the truth of God. Verse 11 continues. Truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. That's revival right there from earth to heaven.
Yes.
And verse 12 adds, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. In other words, when God's presence is restored, guess what? Blessings begin to flow.
Amen, yes.
And finally, verse 13, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his step. You know what revival does? Revival sets us back in step with God. It realigns our hearts. It redirects all of our priorities. And I love this. It revives our passion.
Amen.
Real quickly, I want to give you a couple of other things that the Holy Spirit of God gave me. I was going to end there, but I'm going to obey the Spirit. Number four, the marks of revival. In other words, what God reveals. Every genuine move of God bears certain marks that distinguish it from emotionalism or excitement. Psalm 85 here, it gives us three unmistakable signs of revival. I want to give those to you. Holy Spirit gave them to me. First of all, a restored relationship. Verse 6 says that thy people may rejoice in thee. The goal here of revival, my friend, is not all this emotional noise that's out there. It's spiritual nearness. The joy of revival is joy in Him.
Yes. Yes, amen.
And you know what? That's when revival comes, right? When we fall in love with Jesus again.
Yes, amen.
Also, another point is a renewed righteousness. Verse 13 speaks of righteousness going before Him. In other words, revival always produces holiness, right? Over in the Old Testament, you don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 17, verse 15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, I dwell in the high and holy place with him, also that is the contrite and humble spirit. Listen, you can't have a high and holy God dwelling with a haughty heart. Revival bows low before his throne. And then there's the resounding rejoicing. Look at verse 6 again. That thy people may rejoice in thee. You know, David prayed, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Yes. Amen.
I think we've lost the joy of our salvation. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't done that. Oh, really? Sometimes we can lose the joy of our salvation, right? We get caught up in so many other things. I look out and I pray and look out at people today. And I think there's so many people and the things they say and the things they share, they're just so unhappy. Number five, the motivation for revival. Why we must seek it? The psalmist's question. Notice what he says. Wilt thou not revive us again? Listen, this is a plea and a persuasion. He's not doubting God's ability. He's appealing here to God's character. Why? Let me tell you why. God delights in reviving. Our Lord is not reluctant to revive His people. He longs to do that. Revival is the heart of a loving Father calling His children home. God's nature, you know what it is? It's to restore.
Amen. Yes.
And you know what? Also, why we must seek it? I'm going to just be honest with you. It's because the church desperately needs it.
Yes.
We live in a day of great knowledge, but little power. Many methods, but few miracles. large budgets but low brokenness. The problem isn't that the world has grown too strong, it's that the church has grown too sleepy. I never forget, and I know it's been about 3 years ago, but my I can't reach it without falling probably, but I've still got mine. Remember, wake up. We get sleepy. People are sleeping. Our pews are filled, but our prayer rooms are empty. We did defend the truth, but friend, we seldom defend the Spirit or depend on the Spirit. We talk about revival, but very few travail for it.
Amen, but come on.
And if this church is going to stand in the dark hour, and we're living in a very dark hour, it must first kneel. The hour is late, but the Lord is near. Revival is not an option. I'm here to tell you today it's an obligation if we are to survive spiritually. And you know what? Why we must seek it is because the world desperately awaits it.
Amen, bud.
Verse 9 declares, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. So when the church is revived, guess what? The world is reached. That's what that means. And the last thing is the method for revival. What you and I, we must do. Though revival is God's work, and it is, it's not my work. He's given us clear steps for you and I to prepare the way. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to pray earnestly. Psalm 85, guess what happens when you read this? It begins and ends in prayer.
Yeah.
Every revival in history has been birthed in the prayer closet. The Welsh revival began when a few believers cried, "Bend us, O Lord." The Moravian revival began with a 24-hour prayer watch that lasted for 100 years, believe it or not. And Pentecost came when the disciples were all in one accord in one place. Listen, prayer plows the ground of the heart so the rain of the Spirit can fall.
Amen, yes.
No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power.
Yes.
Also, the method for revival, what we must do, you and I, is pursue holiness. The psalmist prayed, notice, turn us, O God. You know what that is? That's repentance. Turning from sin to the Savior. Listen, friend, you can't have revival while you're clinging, whatever it is you're clinging to, in rebellion. The fire of God falls on clean altars. If there's unconfessed sin, just like when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it must be forsaken. If there are broken relationships, whatever those are, they must be mended. If there's pride, it must be humbled. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I know that this was written for a different time, but we can apply it today even, and I think that we can hold it true to what we did. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we ought to always be doing that, right?
Amen, yes.
And turn from their wicked way. Oh, how so many people need to turn from a wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their land, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And the last thing is we need to praise expectantly.
Amen, brother. Yes.
Faith expects God to move. And the psalmist said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. You know what that tells me? He anticipated prayer. He anticipated an answer. Listen, true faith just doesn't plead. It prepares. In other words, it gets ready for the rain. Because we're in a spiritual drought. I know it's not rained much around here lately. But I'm going to tell you, it's not raining in people's lives much lately either. Like Elijah, remember up on Mount Carmel? It keeps praying until the clouds appear. Remember that? Listen, when revival comes, it won't come to the lukewarm, but it'll come to those who are longing. When the church starts praising before the breakthrough, what happens is heaven starts pouring out blessing. And I want you to know that's after the breakthrough. And this is the revival we need. The psalmist's question still echoes through time. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice? We've seen the memory of revival, what God has done. We felt the misery without revival, what we've become. We've discovered the means of revival, how God moves. We've seen the marks of revival, what God reveals. We've embraced the motivation for revival. In other words, why you and I, we must seek it. But the question remains this morning as we get ready to go into our invitation hour. Will we want it? That's the question. Will we want it? Listen, God is ready. Heaven is willing. The only thing standing in the way is the church. The church's indifference. Revival won't come because we schedule it. It comes when we seek it.
Yes.
And so let the cry of the psalmist become our cry today. Lord, we've seen you move. Before, move again. Revive us, restore us, and renew us until your glory dwells once more in our land. Listen, when God's people get serious about sin, sincere in prayer, and surrendered to His Spirit, revival will come. Not as a program, not as a scheduled event to attend, but as a presence